The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Number 2, going to be taking a lot of those phone calls coming up in a little bit. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. I see Larry and Shelby on hold. We'll get to you in just a second, my man. I know you're a legend, but we did have a scheduled interview. Mitt Winter, from Winter Sports Law joining us right now. And Mitt, I'm so intrigued by this NIL thing. We talked about it for hours yesterday, and then as soon as I thought I was kind of done with all this name, image, and likeness story, Texas decides to roll something else out. Like, I feel like I'm in a cloud. Walk me through what the latest bill that's been introduced and what it means. Is it good? Is it bad? Your thoughts.
Yeah, so the Texas law you're referring to, it's actually sitting on the governor's desk now. It's already passed the House and the Senate. And once the governor signs it, and assuming he's going to sign it, it goes into effect on July 1. And so basically what this law does, it does a few things. Number one, a really important aspect of it, it says the NCAA cannot penalize schools or athletes who do things that are allowed under the law. And so this law would allow any entity that's completely separate from a university, including an athletics fundraising foundation, like the Texas A&M's 12th Man Fund, to enter into NIL deals with the university's athletes and to give, you know, things like priority points for tickets and parking to donors to that entity. And both of those things are not allowed under NCAA rules. So this law is aimed really at overruling the NCAA's rules on those points, so A&M can put in place the model that it wants to put in place for its NIL.
And this obviously would go to Texas and TCU and all these schools that are in the state, obviously not just A&M. And so basically what they're saying is that, okay, we will allow these kind of quote collectives, and if you want to earn your priority points or, you know, upgrade for season tickets or whatever, if you donate to this collective, you essence, you know, it's like donating to the fundraising part of it. Even though that's not allowed, they're basically saying our state law will supersede any non-law that's out there, according to the NCAA.
That's right. Yeah. They're saying, you know, we know what the NCAA rules are, but we've drafted this law that says schools in our state are going to be allowed to do those things, and state law supersedes NCAA rules. A lot of people call NCAA rules NCAA laws, but they're not laws. They're just rules. So state law supersedes those rules. So it's going to kind of remain to be seen what the NCAA is going to do, if anything, once the law does go into effect.
But so, and this more than likely is going to be signed in the state of Texas. So what that means is Texas will be there. And I believe Arkansas, and I want to say Oklahoma as well, in the SEC footprint, have put together similar style or worded laws, Mitt, that say, here's the deal. Like, we can do basically whatever we want. We're above what NCAA rules say. And more importantly, you can't hold any college, university, or player accountable. And so, in essence, it's basically saying, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, we're going to do whatever the hell we want, and you can't do anything about it.
That's kind of a basic way to describe it. And you're right, Arkansas, they already passed their law. The governor's already signed it. So that law is in effect, and it has very similar language to the Texas law. The Oklahoma bill has passed their Senate and House. Their governor did veto it, but it wasn't because he didn't agree with the items that were in the bill. It was related to a tax separate political issue. And so people think that law will go into effect as well. Missouri has a bill pending right now with similar language. New York, not in the SEC footprint, but they have a bill with similar language that's pending now as well. So I think we're going to see these types of bills continue to spread throughout the country, especially if there's no federal NIL bill that's passed this year. I really think we'll see a lot more states introduce bills that are similar to these other ones.
So, Mitt, and we're talking to Mitt Winter, NIL attorney, talking a little bit about what's going on with name, image, and likeness right now. And so, in essence, it seems like, Mitt, if you have a big time university in your school, you are best apt to follow now Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas's rules of basically saying there are no rules that you have to adhere to. And so my question is, how far can you go? Like, I joked around and said, well, wait a minute. Could we ever have a student athlete, let's say Montana Fouts, because a lot of people listening to us over on the Feinbaum show know Montana Fouts, incredible softball player, making some money in name, image, and likeness. I know she donates a bunch back, which is great for her camp. She's awesome, a rock star, right? Well, what if she wants to continue to play, okay? Is there anything that she could basically sue the NCAA underneath some, if Alabama takes these laws that Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas are saying, hey, you can't deal with any of this stuff, could she sue the NCAA and say, why am I limited to just 4 or 5 years of eligibility? Like, yeah, as long as I'm taking classes, what prevents me from playing longer?
Yeah, these laws that we're talking about, they're pretty specific in the NCAA rules that they're basically overruling. So in a situation like that, unless the law specifically said an athlete can, you know, play for as long as they want or for a number of years that's longer than what the NCAA allows, you wouldn't have a situation like that. But your point's still valid because a state could really put anything it wants into its state law and basically overrule the NCAA rule on that point.
It would be fascinating, right? I mean, I go and look at it right now is that there's going to be some people, I think of like Oscar Tshiebwe at Kentucky. I don't know if he has an NBA career. I know that he's making a bunch of money playing basketball at Kentucky. And so will we ever get to a point where you have somebody in maybe not football because they want to play in the NFL and maybe, you know, maybe NBA is a bad example, but if you have someone, will they ever be able to challenge this and in de facto just say, hey, we're going to roll this into our name, image, and likeness state law because the NCAA can't get their blank together. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Mitt, anything to add on that? I mean, you think that we could ever get to that point?
I mean, I think this kind of brings up a bigger point. If you get far enough down the road where states have all these laws that basically say we don't have to follow NCAA rules, what's the point of, number one, having an NCAA? And then number two, why are these universities members of the NCAA? Are they just going to leave the NCAA and maybe create their own governing entity? So I think that's something to possibly keep an eye on down the road.
And that's something that we're seeing right now, right? I mean, I saw the NIL, one of the latest bills that was part as far as a federal bill. And I believe, is there another one that got introduced today? I'm losing track of how many of these federal NIL bills that are basically out there. What's this
there
newest
three
one?
Now.
Three.
There are three
Come
now. The Senate. There's one introduced in the Senate last week, and there have been two introduced in the House this week already.
Okay. Any of these have a chance of passing? Is this people just trying to get headlines? Is this people trying to coalesce against around one? Like, I'm interested.
I don't think any of the bills that have been introduced so far have a very good chance of passing. To me, it's very similar to 2 years ago when NIL was first allowed, and there were a number of federal bills, NIL bills introduced. And, you know, when they're first introduced, everybody gets excited and, you know, analyzes them and said, oh, this part's good, this part's bad. But none of those bills even got out of committee. I think we're going to have sort of a similar situation here. And I think there's even going to be more bills introduced than there currently are. So who knows how many we'll end up having introduced. But I don't think any of them are going to get that far. The problem is they go way beyond NIL. So they get into saying college athletes can't be employees. And they get into some other issues as well. If there was just a very simple NIL bill, I think it would have a better chance of passing. But none of the ones that have been introduced so far could be described as just simple NIL bills.
Is this a... Do... is this a Republican thing? Is it a Democrat thing? Like, is there one side that kind of leans on because I can't see any kind of, I mean, thankfully, I haven't seen any kind of partisan bias when it comes to, you know, who's trying to do what at this point. It just seems like this is one of the rare occasions, or maybe that not everybody is over on both sides of the aisle. Like, it feels as if kind of everybody is just in confused, both, you know, left, right, and in the middle.
I would say right now it's the Republicans that are leaning towards wanting to pass a federal NIL bill, which is sort of interesting because, you know, you think of Republicans as being the free market, less regulation party. But, you know, what these federal NIL bills are doing is putting in regulations.
More regulations.
Adding more federal commissions and more bureaucracy. So it's sort of an interesting situation. And then for the Democrats to get behind some of these bills, they're asking for other things to be thrown in for college athletes, such as more health and safety protections and, you know, in some instances, even revenue sharing. So that's where you kind of get into these issues that are not bipartisan, that are preventing these bills that have all kinds of different things besides just NIL thrown into them for moving forward.
It's like whenever there's like, you know, what are they, there's so much pork or whatever in these bills that everybody, there's like 7,000 things that get run into it instead of just asking, hey, we're going to take one issue at a time. It ends up being an absolute nightmare. As far as, you know, you work with name, image, and likeness. This is my last one for you, Mint. Has it worked well for the athletes? What is the biggest concern or biggest issue? You don't need to give me an actual name or instance, but like, how is this? What's the approval rating when talking about the deals that are being done right now? Is it mostly nicely situated?
Yeah, I think some of the narrative is kind of unfair around NIL. I personally think, you know, so far it's been great for athletes, and that's a wide range of athletes. It's not just, you know, the big time Power Five football and, you know, Division I basketball guys. There are lots of female athletes who have done very well for themselves. You know, Libby Dunn, gymnast at LSU, is crushing it. It's made, you know, seven figures. Angel Reese at LSU as well. So in my opinion, it's been a very good thing for athletes. And, you know, there have been some stories of deals gone bad, but that's limited. The vast majority of these deals are, you know, going smoothly. People are getting paid. You know, there's not shady business athletes being taken advantage of in most situations. So I think it's been a great thing for athletes so far.
Mitt, it has been very interesting to see how the coaches, how the athletic departments, the schools, the government, everybody is all kind of up in the arms about it. But at the end of the day, we just see athletes being able to make a couple of dollars and the world continues to, you know, rotate. Mitt Winter, NIL attorney, Winter Sports Law. Mitt, we appreciate the time as always, man.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yep, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
There it is, Mitt Winter giving us a little insight. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. I tell you what, we'll throw open lines coming up, so we'll take your phone calls coming up next. 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. And big news when it comes to Georgia and Florida. Remember, they've been trying to think about moving that game to a home and home. we have an answer. I'll tell you what that update is coming up next. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Peter Burns filling in for Paul. Casey Caps is in here on Twitter, says, enough of the NIL talk. Listeners are falling asleep at an alarming rate. I don't want you to fall asleep. Just trying to figure out what in the world is going with name, image, likeness. And you're right. Every time I do have an interview about name, image, likeness, I tried to make myself just a touch smarter about the situation. I feel even more hopeless about it all, that anything's going to get done. And basically all I've come to realize is that everybody's going to pass their own laws that say you don't have to listen to the NCAA. And so sure enough, you know, it's the Wild Wild West. Jason is in Georgia. Thanks for joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up?
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing good, dude.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the, well, it's not really name, image, and likeness, but I guess it is. You know, Michigan's fixed to have a couple of offensive linemen come back after retiring from the NFL, and Tom Brady's going to play a couple years, and, you know, because there's no rules. There's no rules whatsoever. At some point, there's got to be some kind of regulation, something. I mean, because it's just stupid. At some point, it's just stupid. If there's no rules at all, you know, the USFL will just, you know, the college will just go in and get the best players from that league, and just have the best offensive defensive line ever against 18-year-olds because there's no rules. There's absolutely no rules. So somebody's got to do something because at this point it's just stupid. Somebody with common sense has got to do something.
I don't disagree with you. In essence, the NCAA has put themselves.
I'm being dramatic, of course. Specifically, but
yeah, I mean,
it's just, I don't know.
Jason, have you gotten to the point, though, if you're less of a fan of the sport? Like, have you tuned out, or you're just not as invested in it because of it?
No, I mean, I still like it, but I think just go ahead and go to a salary cap. And, of course, there's got to be 4 years. You can't have somebody, you know, who would – let's say Stetson Bennett said, flames out in the NFL, he just comes back and plays 5 more years because there's no rules. That's just stupid. There's got to be rules in life. And everything. There's got to be something.
You would think. And again, basically what ended up happening is that there were rules that said you couldn't do the transfer portal, right? Or name, image, and likeness. And then finally, you know, they said that's not legal. It's not allowed. And that's the only reason why I asked that question is, like, where do you draw the line? If you're saying that rules that you have on the books about you can't accept name, image, and likeness, and now you're saying, well, those you no longer have to abide by those rules. What stops us from challenging any other rule that the NCAA comes up with? I don't know.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So
that's why there needs to be a salary cap. That way everybody's more of an even playing field. I don't know if you would ever get to that. But, I mean, Cincinnati or the Oregon States, they just become totally irrelevant forever and ever.
Well,
because
I mean,
no rules.
Yeah, Jason, thank you for the phone call. And it's interesting because the ACC earlier today announced something that I'm really intrigued to see how it develops. And what the ACC has said, which if you haven't been paying attention, the ACC is not necessarily happy that they are getting lapped by the SEC when it comes to revenue. Okay? They're not. A lot of it has to do with their television deal. And so there's this, quote, Magnificent Seven, right? There's these seven magical schools that feel like, hey, listen, we might try to look at the grant of rights and try to, you know, look into, you know, does it make sense to get out and start our own conference or leave or try to go somewhere else? And that's easier said than done. But what the ACC did today is that they approved out of their spring meetings that happened, I think, believe last week, that they're going to do a uneven revenue share. Like right now for the ACC, it doesn't matter if you were Clemson winning a national title or you were North Carolina State. When it came to the money that were in there, it was here's the 14 schools, kind of 15 when you talk about Notre Dame and some different aspects of it. They get a little bit of a cut. But for all intents and purposes, it was no matter how good or how bad you did at a sport, it was everybody. It's kind of this socialism version or communism version or whatever it is. It's just, hey, everybody gets their own fair share. We all put it in the kitty and we all share it. Now, what's happening is that FSU and the Clemsons of the world go, wait a minute, like, we're going to be pretty good in football. We've been holding court for football if you're Clemson. Why should we get the same amount of money as somebody that doesn't put together the same type benefit for this conference? And the ACC basically said, you're right. We're going to give you extra money. That's the mark of something that's not going to go well. Think about it. You go back to Big 12, okay? The Big 12 basically at some point where they were afraid that the Pac-12 was going to take Texas. So what did they do? They allowed Texas to carve out their own network. And guess what? Sooner or later, Texas was like, all right, thanks for the extra money. We're gone. And they left. So this, all it is the ACC trying to keep Florida State and the Clemsons happy by giving a little bit more revenue share. In essence, they're still going to try to leave as quickly as they can. The problem is that they're not allowed to. I go back to the point that in 2020, they had Notre Dame dead to rights. In 2020, Notre Dame needed to have a full schedule. They wanted to play football. And so what did the ACC do? The ACC, in essence, said, all right, Notre Dame, we'll make you whole. Here, you can play all of our, you're in the club. You're in the ACC club for a year. We'll distribute the money. Everything will be good. That was the opportunity that the ACC had to come in and reopen all the negotiations and said, we're going to let you in for this year, but guess what? You are now a permanent member of the ACC. Okay? You can fold in your NBC deal. We'll figure that, all that out, but you are now a permanent member. If you want to do this, this is what it's going to take. The ACC chose not to do that. And now they're finding themselves in a situation where they're going to have to do different in revenue distribution. And listen, it may come to the SEC at some point. It may come to the point where Alabama's sitting in a meeting and says, hey, you know what? Why, if I'm Alabama football, does Vanderbilt football get the same money? You might have Josh Brooks, the athletic director, or president over at Georgia, say, you know what? We just won back-to-back national championships. Okay? Maybe three in a row. Why does Missouri get the same amount of money for the work that we're doing? Is that fair? Might be coming down the road. The ACC just gave you a blueprint and it's been done before. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Ivan Basel, one of the best in the business from On3, going to join us. We'll talk about 8-game versus 9-game conference schedule and why I think 8 is still in play. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
In for Paul Feinbaum. All right, promise to you guys all right here. We've had several people tweet in. They don't like the name, image, and likeness conversation. Okay, all right, we will strike that from the rest of the day. It's banned topic, okay? That's a ban. Mark, Matt, Badlack, if you guys hear me bring up name, image, and likeness one more time on the show, just hit the buzzer and put the dump button in play.
None shall pass. You got it.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll take a lot more phone calls coming up. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Before we do that, I want to talk to the voice of reason when it comes to college football, one of the greatest, Ivan Basel, joining us right now from On3. And Ivan, you had a great piece this morning because I'm so fascinated on this 8-game versus 9-game conference schedule. As a college football fan, I want to see 9. Hell, I want to see 10 SEC games, right? I just don't get that feeling that we're steamrolling towards that. You think this could be some turbulent waters brewing here for the SEC when it comes to that decision?
I think we're snail rolling toward it, Peter. How long have they been talking about this? how tough is this decision to make unless you don't want to make it yet? And I think that's where we are. The people who don't really have a dog in the hunt, which would presumably be the conference office, I think they want 9. And that means more inventory, more good games, more showcasing the league. Mm-hmm. But the individual schools are looking at the 3-6-6 model and the three permanent opponents and then alternating between the other 12, 6 per year. And they just want to know who's our three and is it going to be equitable across the scope of 16 teams? And that's where the trouble lies.
If you had to handicap it right now with the schools that want 9-game conference schedule versus the 8 and just how the SEC is involved, is it a coin flip that we're talking about? Is it 70-30 leaning a certain way? What does that room look like?
I don't know is the short answer. I haven't tried to canvass the entire league. I think there was the trend was going to 9 games until the league started putting out, well, what do you think about these three teams and for you? And it began to backslide a little bit. Alabama certainly went from wanting 9 games to saying, well, they don't want to play LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn every year, for instance, because mm-hmm. they don't think that's fair, given the fact that they've already scheduled 2 other Power 5 schools per year, non-conference games, for the next, into the 30s. So now you're dealing with 11 strong Power 5 opponents a year. And to your point of what you started out with, as fans, absolutely do that. It's great. Nobody wants to see Alabama play Mercer, but they want to do what everybody else is doing in terms of it being an equitable schedule. So
what's interesting, Ivan, is that I saw news yesterday that the Big Ten right now looks to possibly copy the SEC. Now the Big Ten right now basically says you have to if you're going to play non-conference games, because they already play 9, they're saying that you got to play Power 5 schools, right? You can't have kind of North by Northwestern Tech on the schedule, and they appear to be possibly looking into rescinding that and almost make it more of an SEC level. I mean, how much are these other conferences taking a look at the SEC and go, well, you know what? I mean, we're already at 9 conference games, but maybe the SEC is the ones who did it right when it comes to scheduling.
Well, the 9 conference games has been a hit with the fans, but because, not every conference is playing 9, people are getting, they're upset about it. And that's why the Big Ten's looking at it again. I think what's interesting about that is, what happens if they go to 8 and 2 Power 5 or 9 and 2 Power 5, what happens to the Mid-American Conference? Because they are pilot fish swimming around those, the big Ten whales every year, feeding off what the Big Ten doesn't eat. I mean, Big Ten's feeding them, basically. Any kind of decision like that by the Big Ten is the effects of it. And the same would go for the SEC and the FCS conferences down here, and the non-Power 5 conferences down here. These are all going to have effects going all the way through Division I football.
Yeah, there's a trickle down at some point. And then there will be the schools like, say, Kentucky that says, wait a minute, we're playing Louisville already. And Florida can sit there and go, well, we play FSU. That's a rivalry weekend that we have. If we add one more conference game, we're not going to get rid of that one on the schedule. It reduces the flexibility. We're talking to Ivan Maizel of On3 right now. I'm curious about this because as we were talking about earlier, I just saw Georgia landed another commit. Shocking that Kirby is starting to recruit fairly well. He's done that over the last couple of years. Yeah. I don't know if you ever feel like an era is over until you look back well beyond and then go, okay, this was the moment. But do you feel that when looking at Alabama from afar, Ivan, of that it truly is Georgia's world and everybody else is living in it, including Nick Saban and the Tide?
Well, yeah. I mean, Georgia is definitely on top. What we, you know, what I am not ready to say is that that's permanent. You know, if you remember being in Tuscaloosa on the first Saturday in November in 2019, you know, I thought the era had ended then, you know, because LSU dominated Alabama that day, at least for three and a half quarters or three quarters. And LSU won that national championship. And I thought, okay, it's been a great run. And then, of course, in the first COVID season, Alabama was as dominant as LSU had been the year before.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not ready to make any proclamations, but clearly, you know, Georgia's on top right now.
They continue to roll, and we'll see if Carson Beck is the guy that ends up getting the quarterback position, QB1 there in Athens. If I had to say, I'm going to give you Auburn, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Not this year, because I don't think any of those four or any of those three are going to be top four material for the college football playoff. But when it expands in 2024, we go 12-team playoff. Which one of those is more, you think, positioned, that you would have more success, Ivan Maisel? Would it be A&M, Ole Miss, or Auburn?
That's a great question, Peter.
Because I can't figure it out. I've gone back and forth. We've debated this, yeah, Ivan, so many times on my SiriusXM show. And every time I think I have the answer, I go, well, wait a minute, about here. Like, I don't know which of those three that I trust the most to be put on this path when I think it's more accessible for a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'd say Auburn. And, you know, now you're going to ask me why I would say Auburn. Because I think there's both the infrastructure and Hugh Freeze has proven, you know, he can win at a school that size and in this league, or, you know, he won at Ole Miss, he can do it at Auburn, you know, and, I'm not convinced that Ole Miss has, you know, the infrastructure or lack of a better word, that, you know, all of the tools that the Auburns and Alabamas and Tennessees and Georgias and Floridas have shown through the years. You know, Ole Miss has never shown those. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not ready to put my chips on Jimbo and College Station. You know, it hasn't happened yet. And, why start now?
It's fascinating. I mean, you talk about just historical, just the you know, you're such a historian of the game, to think about Bobby Petrino's run here, and now we've come full circle of really talking about Texas A&M with Petrino as our offensive coordinator, even as an afterthought in their own division, much less being at the top of the college football playoff like Jimbo Fisher has paid. Going to be interesting times out in Kyle Field. Ivan, we appreciate the time, man. Always good to hear from you, and hope we bump halves here in college football season, all right?
All right, me too, Peter. Thanks a lot.
He is the best. Ivan Maisel from On3. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Andy in Alabama, thanks for patiently waiting as we get into some of these phone calls. What's up, Andy?
Hey, man. Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing well. Hey, no NIL talk. We're not doing NIL talk. So
talking with your guest, Ivan Maisel, you know, that was a good question you just posed. And of those three teams, I personally have to say Texas A&M. You look at the recruiting they had this past year, and I think with Jimbo Fisher shoring up his assistant coaching staff, I think things are playing in their favor right now. But as you stated earlier, as of right now, it's just Georgia's world and we're all living in it. That could change. But I can tell you this. I don't see any other school outside of maybe Ohio State challenging the SEC in the next few years for anything in football. I just don't see it. That leads to my next question. I mean, why are we even part of the NCAA, okay? with everything that's going on in this crazy college football landscape and players doing what they want to do now, getting the money they're getting, why in the world are we even affiliated with NCAA? What governing body do they have now to step in and say, hey, you're doing this wrong, like they did back in the 80s with the University of Miami or with the Pony Express? I mean, mm-hmm. those days are gone.
I, Andy, we talked about it. I think the NCAA does a lot of great things when it comes to college baseball, when it comes to golf, when it comes to tennis, hell, when it comes to basketball and the tournament they've put. Now, the reason why they're so good in basketball is because they put together their own tournament that makes a bajillion dollars, but they don't do it for college football. So the question is should an entity like the college football playoff take it over, right? If that's the case, do you have more success? I don't know that answer. They're trying to figure that out right here, right now. I just know that college football does not fit in that same bucket as everybody else. All right, I'll ask you that question. 855-242-PAUL. We figure it's Georgia, right? We heard from Ivan Mazel. We heard from Andy in Alabama. We heard from a lot of people. It's Georgia. It's Kirby Smart's world, and you're just living in it. Who's up next? Is it Tennessee? Is it A&M? Is it Hugh at Auburn? I want to hear from you. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. 855-242-7285. Your phone call is coming up next. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burns in for Paul Feinbaum today with the crack of the bat, or the ping of the bat, I should say, in metal bat. Arkansas has now just taken the lead in the bottom of the seventh. Go ahead, grand slam for the Razorbacks. Jared Wagner ends up going yard. A&M was rolling. Now, of course, we saw A&M in their first victory yesterday. We saw them get that win, basically punching their ticket to postseason play. But now they were feeling pretty good against the number 2 seed Arkansas Razorbacks, but the Razorbacks are up on the board. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. We've been talking about who's next. If it's Georgia's world and everyone else is living in it, who's next? Is it LSU? Is it Alabama figuring out their college, their quarterback situation? Is it Hugh Freeze? I mean, we've seen first-year head coaches make a run at Auburn. Is it this year? I don't know. Is it Tennessee? Is the hype for real? Can Joe Milton be the guy that Hendon Hooker was yesterday? 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. I get this tweet from TY, and we were talking about an 8-game, 9-game conference schedule. And he said, Peter, an 8-game SEC schedule with 16 teams is the most idiotic thing I've ever seen. It's not our responsibility to fund the group of 5 and FCS programs with rental wins. End the nonsense. Plus, if we stay at 8, LSU would play in Athens once every 15 years. It's unreal how stupid that is. I don't disagree with that. I think I'm in the same boat with you guys, the fans, the callers that love SEC football. We want more SEC games. We all agree on that. I mean, hell, there's a lot of things that sucked about 2020. You know what the best part about it was, if any, was the fact that we saw all SEC games. Every time you tuned into SEC Network or CBS that had the contract, you knew you were getting a good game, right? There was no kind of ho-hum games, right? On television, it was awesome. Week in and week out, it was great. But let me ask you this. Why would programs do it? To benefit you, the fan? You would think that'd be the right point, but if you're an athletic director and you're trying to figure out what's the best for your program, why would you change anything? 8-game conference schedule has worked extremely well for this conference, right? How many times did we go to the college football playoff and that committee just went out there and said, man, we really liked an SEC team. If only they would have played a 9th conference game. Ever. That's never happened. We don't hear that talk. Because this conference gets the most amount of respect. So if you're an athletic director and you're a football coach, why not? Why do you keep the flexibility? You want that flexibility to schedule whoever you want, whether it be kind of some cupcake game or whether it be, you know, a marquee at tournament, a marquee game, wherever you wanted to play it, because you're going to make money. And what it's going to come down to is that, are you going to have enough votes that everyone says, yeah, let's put myself up against another SEC team. I'll do it if it means we're going to make $7 million more a year. But is your television partner going to do that? Are my bosses at ESPN who have the new rights are going to say, hey, you know what? It's worth a boatload of money. We're going to give you all this extra money. That's great if you can do that. But that's not really what's happening right now. And so if you're not going to get a boatload of extra money, I think these schools are going to look at it and go, hey, I don't disagree. We'd like 9 conference games. That would be great. Be awesome. However, this is not worth it for us. We're going to stay at 8. It would not surprise me if next week we leave out of Destin, where the SEC spring meetings are being held, and they voted. And they voted to remain at 8 for several years. Because remember, we do have a college football playoff that's expanding in 24, but it may look different in 2026, right? That's when the official college football playoff contract ends. So we may get to a situation where the SEC says, we're the power. Everybody respects us. We're the real conference when it comes to college football. And we've been doing it this way. And if our television partner's not going to give us any extra money, why should we change? We'll keep it at 8. We'll roll 2 more years throughout this whole situation. And then we'll see what happens. Maybe they say at 8. Maybe they say enough's enough. We're going to 9. I just don't think it's a slam dunk as much as you like. More of your phone calls coming up next. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Peter Burns in the Paul Feinbaum Show.